A few weeks ago, oh, don't put that up yet. A few weeks ago, I spoke about hearing God among the thorns. And from Luke chapter 8, a few chapters before where you're at now, in verse 14, we were looking at the verse where Jesus explained his parable about how God's word is sown like seeds, and some people hear and some people don't hear. And we read this verse in verse 14, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature." And how is it that the world that we live in, which is so full of life's worries, pleasures, and riches, how do we keep from being choked out? And we talked about hearing God when we're in the midst of this world of life's distractions. And then a few weeks ago, Don Clark spoke to us from chapter 18, where you've just turned to in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, slide over beside your neighbor, steal half the page. And Don talked to us about the first section here, a widow and a judge. And the point was, hey, if even this guy is going to eventually bring justice, don't you trust God? I mean, he's a good father. Of course he's going to bring justice. Of course he's going to answer your prayer. But that passage ends with this question. Look at verse, let me flip the page here. At verse 8, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Of course God is a good God. Of course he's a good father. Of course he's not like the unrighteous judge. But when Jesus returns, will he find faith? Will people simply trust him? And then he followed, Luke in his gospel follows with three stories right on the heels of this question. First, he tells a story about a self-righteous Pharisee and a tax collector who knew he was a sinner. And the question was, which one was received by God? Obviously, the humble one who accepted God's gift, asked for God's forgiveness. Next was a story about little children, and the implication being, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, you need to become like a little child. You need to receive it like children do. And then he told a story about a rich young ruler, and the implication being, money and wealth make it incredibly difficult to trust God. Harder than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's so hard for someone who trusts in money to ever get free of that and trust in God. So he tells these three stories, one right after the other, in answer to the question, but when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? And they're all summed up in the middle story, a picture of what it's like for children. So let's read together Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. "People are also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.'" Let's read those last two verses again. "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Isn't that exciting? Become like a child. I know that just makes Johannes Visser stand up and say, "I'm a child." Right? I mean, I can just see, you know, Mark and Manuel back there just standing up saying, "Oh yeah, I want to be a little child." Like, you read that and you think, what's with this story? Just get me out of this door. I'm getting the creeps right now. I'm a guy. This is almost as bad as when I first found out I was going to be the bride of Christ. I'm not being sacrilegious. Please. But the first time you hear these things, that's what goes through your mind. I know when we've been in the church for 20 years, we get used to all of this, and it just makes sense because we understand the analogies, we understand how they all fit together. We understand that Jesus isn't actually asking me to be a bride in that way. But when you hear it for the first time, you think, do I really want to be a little kid? What's Jesus on about? In another place, Mark, Matthew, Luke all tell the same story. The disciples were arguing about who's the best. I mean, typical grade 6 stuff. You know, grade 6 and 7 guys, what do? You talk about how great your jump was on a snowboard. The next guy tells how his was better. Right? Girls talk about how they looked in the mirror. And the next one talks about how her nose looks better. Comparison, back and forth. But it doesn't change. We get to be adults. And we just compare in different ways. We don't talk about it as much. We just buy different cars. We don't talk about it as much. We just decorate differently. But Jesus talked about these Pharisees who everything they did was to be seen by other people. And Jesus told a story. I'm sorry, not Jesus told a story. Jesus answered the disciples when they were comparing to each other about who's the greatest. And hey, Jesus, when we get to the kingdom, who gets to sit at your right hand at the banquet table? And Jesus then said, look, unless you become like children, you can't enter. And in this passage, will there be faith? Unless you become like children, you can't enter. What's his point? What's he on about? Is he asking us to be a child completely? Is this just a way that religious leaders manipulate people, that they keep everybody as children and then they get to be the boss? But think about Jesus. Jesus himself continued to have the attributes, the characteristics of a child. You see, Jesus is the mighty warrior. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the manly, masculine one who had the power to conquer death and had the sacrifice to lay down his life and the courage it took to endure what he endured to provide salvation for the world. And yet, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. He had the characteristics of a child himself. Jesus, even though he was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bloodstained warrior that he is, Jesus said, come unto me, you who are weak and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle of heart. Jesus might be a bloodstained warrior. He might be full of courage, but he also is gentle. He's not concerned about what others are thinking of his image, and he's willing to surrender himself to the will of God and walk as a son of God, a child of God. That's how he portrayed himself to us. Jesus never had ulterior motives. He never had hypocrisy. He was sincere. These are the traits of a child. A child that is unassuming. A child that is sincere. Have you ever seen a child come and talk to you? If they decide to talk to you, and sometimes they don't, but they decide to talk to you or not talk to you sincerely. Not in order to be seen by someone else. Sometimes adults go and talk to someone, not because they're sincere, But because Mr. Sands is famous, he's my member of parliament, and I'm having a conversation with him, and Joey saw me have a conversation with him. Joey saw that I was talking to the member of parliament. Jesus wasn't like that. But the Pharisees were. And Jesus was on their case all the time. A child isn't like that. A child is full of sincerity. Sometimes they don't talk to us, but not because they're hypocritical. The disciples, on the other hand, were learning the ways of Jesus. And they kept bumping into these situations where they would get it wrong. And Jesus would say, yes, that's how your world is, but this is the kingdom. Yes, I understand you want to be great. You want to be beside me. Or, in this case, yes, I understand that you think I'm busy, I'm famous, and I don't have time for these kids. And they came and pushed the kids away. But Jesus said, no. Let the kids come to me. They can hang out with me. I'm happy to lay my hands on them and bless them. And in fact, unless you are like that, you can't receive the kingdom. You can still be a bloodstained warrior. You can still be a courageous person. But you must be like a child to receive Jesus. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Pride and arrogance always keep God from our lives. Children have a humility that is just honest, without a wall. The characteristics of children, well, that is the characteristics of children, even children of God. The characteristics of children are the same as the characteristics of the children of our Father in heaven. Think about how our children respond when they're too young to make things up. When they're too young to decide about these things, when they're too young to put on a false front, when they're young enough to be sincere. In Luke, it says they were bringing babies to Jesus. And in response to that, Jesus is saying, let them come. Unless you're like these little ones, you can't receive the kingdom. Now, I've got a children's story and a few questions for the kids. Guys, if you want to come to the front, if you're in God's workshop, maybe the grade fives might think they're too old for this, but the younger ones would want to see this book. I've got a book for you to read. I'm going to steal this chair by Mr. Bennett. Come on up. You can sit on the floor here. So I got a question for you. Why do they call God's workshop God's workshop? Come on over this way. Why is it called God's workshop? Is there a table saw over there in that other building? No? Is there a drill over there? Are there any hammers? Well, whose workshop is it? God's workshop. So he's the boss. So who's he working on? Oh, us. That's right. Daniel, you want to slide the pulpit back? No, this. Or Ken, thanks. And the other kids can see. It's God's workshop, eh? Hey, I better grab my notes or I'm going to forget a few things. Well, I want to read you a story about God's workshop. Did you guys have any holiday time or you've been in school all week? How many of you went to school last week? No? You all skipped? Oh, that's what a holiday is called. Right. All right. So tell me this. How many of you got some special food in the last couple weeks? Ooh. What did you have? Rainbow Jello. What else? You had Rainbow Jello too. You must be in the same family. What did you have? Fondue. Pumpkin pie with whipped cream on top? Yeah. You had fondue too? Excellent. Now let me ask you something. Did you guys make the fondue? Who made it? Oh. What about tomorrow? Do you think you're going to make dinner tomorrow? Well, are you going to get any food? Where is it going to come from? Oh, I heard some of you guys went skating last night. Who went? Ice skating. You got 6 goals? You did too? I heard that even Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz were there. Do they know how to skate? They were skating, yeah. You were pushing James, yeah. And I heard Mr. Funk was skating. Did he go skating too? Yeah. Well, I didn't go skating. You know why? Because I woke up yesterday and I had a relaxing breakfast. And then I told Mrs. Borman what I was going to do on that day and what I was going to do on Saturday. And she said, it is Saturday. I said, what? I thought it was Friday. Something happened in the new year. I think we skipped a day somewhere. I don't know where it is. But somewhere this week, we skipped a day. Yep. But anyway, how many of you drove the car to go skating? Did you drive yourself? Yeah. Well, Mr. Grant must be training you really young. Did your dad drive the car or did you drive the car? Your mom drove the car. All right. Very good. Very good. Isaac, how are you going to get home today? You don't know? I mean, if Joy oversleeps sometimes, she might just forget about you and go home without you, right? Yeah. Well, if you do go home, are you taking the SkyTram home? Yeah? Okay. James, how are you going to get home? The car, all the way across the street. Okay. You're going to walk. Right. Very good. But sometimes when you go in the car, does your mom or dad drive? Do you ever drive? No. Do you ever worry about whether or not you're going to be able to go because maybe you won't have parents to drive you? You don't think about that, huh? That'd be nice. That'd be so nice to never have to worry about how I was going to get somewhere. Or to never have to worry about how I'm going to get food. That would be so nice. Wow. Or what about your house? How many of you slept under a tree last night? Did you sleep under a tree? No. You sleep under a roof? Did you pay the taxes on your house? Did your dad pay the taxes on his house? Well, I'll be. Yep. Yep. She pays the taxes on your stuff. Taxes are going to go up this year. You know, it's a good deal being a kid. I mean, your parents feed you. And they probably bought your clothes too, didn't they? Sometimes. Sometimes you have to get a job and buy them? Sometimes you want to buy them? With your money? Yeah, okay. And the money came from your job at the coffee shop? No. Do you know, a couple weeks ago, baby Timothy was up here. What was baby Timothy doing on stage that day? Why was he up here on stage? He was being baby Jesus. That's right. He was in the manger. And then a few weeks later, he was up here again, and his mom and dad were holding him. What were they doing that day? A baby dedication. And all his brothers and sisters were here, and they prayed for him, and they said, Dear God, thank you for baby Timothy, and may he always live for you his whole life. And then Mr. Whitley talked about it. And he said the funniest thing. Did you hear Mr. Whitley? Mr. Whitley said something about baby Timothy. And he said, well, But his real dad, not Johannes Visser, but his real dad, who was he talking about if it's not Mr. Visser? What? You're too quick. That's right. God. See, God is the one that made baby Timothy. And God's the one that decided that Jacobus would be a good brother for him. And that Johannes and Susan would be good moms and dads. And God decided to stick Timothy in that home. But God's the one that makes us. And that's why when you go to Sunday school, it's called God's Workshop. Because God made James, and he's still working on him. And what's your question?
I got my own money from Christmas.
Great. I got a watch for Christmas, but it didn't have any batteries. Oh, it was Charles who was Jesus. We got him mixed up. Okay. But either way, whether it's Charles or whether it's Timothy, God is their real father, right? And God is your real father. Did you know that? I know you have a dad. But actually, before your dad decided you, God decided about you. The Bible says that God knew you long before you were born, before he joined you together, knit you together in your mother's womb. And just like you don't have to worry about where your house is or where your car is or all those kind of things, you know, all of us are God's children. I'm God's child. You're God's child. And all these adults that came to God's workshop today, they're God's child too. And you know, just like you don't have to worry about your car or your clothes, we never have to worry about, how am I going to make the sunshine come today? I never worry about the sunshine. I never worry about, how am I going to make it rain today? I never worry about those kind of things. Isn't that wonderful? We never worry about, what if the farmer puts the seeds in the ground and they don't come up? Because God made so that it would come up, so we'd have food. We are dependent upon God. And the same way that you trust your mom and dad to drive you to the ice skating rink, you can trust God to provide for all of your needs. Because he makes it all work. He takes care of us all. Now here is a story about somebody, a man who didn't know God yet, and a young girl who did. This is a story called You Are Special. But I want you to think about how the man learned to hear God's voice. Now, I'm going to switch mics here. Look at these. These are funny people, aren't they? These guys are called the Wemmicks. Can you say Wemmick? The Wemmicks were small wooden people. And all of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker who was named Eli. He had a workshop that sat on the top of a hill looking over the village. Every Wemmick was different than the others. Some had big noses. Like Daniel's. Just kidding. Others had great big eyes. Others were tall, like Mr. Sands. Some wore hats, like Mr. Bamberry. Others wore coats. But they were all made by the same carver, and they all lived in the village. All day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Do you guys like stickers?
Yeah.
Yeah? These guys gave each other stickers. Do you know why?
I have a lot of stickers.
You have a lot of stickers?
Why?
Smiley face ones? No. What do you have?
I have this book.
You have this book? I like this book. That's great. You have this book too?
Yeah.
We're not even going to read it then.
Okay, listen to this. We're going to read it. Every day they gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of gold star stickers, and they also had a box of gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets, all over the city, people spent their days sticking stars or dots on each other. The pretty ones, those that had smooth wood and fine paint, they always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint was chipped, then the Wemmicks got dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some of them could lift great big sticks high above their heads. Others could jump over tall boxes like Alka-Visser. Still others knew great big words like Miss Miriam Sands. And others could sing really pretty songs like Anna Marie. And everyone gave those kind of people stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. And every time they got a star, it made them feel really good. It made them want to do something to get another star. But others, though they could do little, they got dots. Punchinello was one of these that got dots. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes he fell and his wood got scratched, so they would give him more dots. And then he would try to explain to them why he fell, and he would say something really silly, and the Wemmicks would give him even more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't even want to go outside anymore. He was afraid that he would do something dumb. Maybe he would forget his hat, or maybe he would step in the mud puddle, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many dots that some people would come up and give him a dot for no reason at all, just because he had so many dots already. Now, you know what these people are like. These people are kind of like what Jesus said the Pharisees were like. They spent their day worrying about what other people thought instead of worrying about what God thought. And Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 5, he said, how can you ever believe in me if you always accept the praise of other people instead of what I think? That's how these Wemmicks were. In their city, they went around all consumed with what different people thought of each other instead of just living like kids do. You guys don't do that, do you? You guys just go have fun. You get out on the ice and you spin around and you jump up and down and you see a ball and you kick it through the window and you see a cake and you grab it and put it in your mouth. Right? But these guys weren't like that. These guys were always worried about what other people would think of them. And that is why their city was the way it was. Punchinello was the guy that got the dots. He deserves a lot of dots, the wooden people would agree with each other. He's not a good wooden person. And after a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times that he did go outside, he hung around with the other Wemmicks that also had dots. He felt a little better around them. One day, he met a Wemmick who was not like anyone he had ever seen before. She didn't have any dots, and she didn't have any stars. She was just wooden, and her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers, it's just that the stickers didn't stick to her. Some Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots. They would run up and give her a star, but it would fall right off. Other people would look down on her because she didn't have any stars, and they would go give her a dot, but it would fall off too. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anybody's marks on me. So he asked
Lucia, the Wemmick without any stickers, how do you do it?
It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day I just go see Eli.
Eli?
Yes, Eli the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him.
Why?
Well, why don't you go find out yourself? Just go up the hill. He's there. And with that, the Wemmick, who had no stickers, turned and skipped away.
Isn't that funny? All she did is just went up and talked to Eli. And that's why she didn't have any stickers. I wonder why. She just wanted to be with him. She didn't even say what she asked him about, did she? She just liked being with him. Do you know God's like that? He just likes us to come and be with him. We're supposed to be like Lucia. But Punchinello is trying to figure out if he really believes her or not. Let's see what happens.
But will he want to see me? Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home, and he sat near a window, and he watched the wooden people as they scurried about, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself. I'm going to go see Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill, and he stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tippy toes to see the top of the workbench. There was a hammer that was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed. I'm not going to stay here. He was scared because everything was so big. He turned to leave, and then he heard his name. Punchinello! The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello! How good to see you! Come, let's have a look at you. Punchinello turned slowly around, and he looked at the large bearded face of the craftsman. You know my name? The little Wemmick asked. Of course I do. I made you. Isn't that what God says to us? You know that his name is Isaac? Yeah. He made you. You know who Xander is? He made you. Eli stooped down and he picked him up. And he set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at all those gray dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to, Eli. I tried really hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No. And you shouldn't either. Who are they to give somebody stars or dots? The Wemmicks are just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And I think you're pretty special. That's what God says. In fact, Paul told us that each one will stand before God as the judge, not before other people. And all that matters is what he thinks. Other people don't decide about whether we're righteous or not righteous. Other people don't decide about whether we're good enough or not good enough. If we come to Jesus, he's already given us his life. He's already given us his ability. He's already given us his righteousness. Jesus has given us his forgiveness. It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks about what you did dumb, or when you messed up, or when you fell down. Those things don't matter. What matters is that Jesus forgave us.
He knows what he thinks about us, and it's not based on what we did. It's based on what he did and what he made. And he said that when you come to Jesus, that you're a new creation, that your old life is gone, and he gives you a new life, his life. He thinks that's pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling off. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello. He put his hands on those small wooden shoulders and he spoke very slowly. Because you are mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping that you would come, Eli explained. I came because I met somebody who didn't have any marks, said Punchinello. Oh, I know. She told me about you. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. Punchinello wanted to meet Eli because he met someone who didn't care what other people thought. He met someone that what other people said didn't seem to hurt her or make her any different. She didn't act more special because some people thought she was special. She didn't act more dumb because some people thought she was dumb. She just had this relationship with Eli. That's who she was friends with. And all those other things that happened at school didn't matter. All those things that went wrong sometimes and she tripped and fell, it didn't matter. Because he made her. And she belonged to him. Sometimes when we live like that, other people want to meet God too. Sometimes when we live like he's the only one that matters, other people want to be like that too. The maker spoke softly, because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? Said Punchinello. The stickers only stick if it matters to you. The more that you trust my love, the less that you will care about the stickers. I'm not sure I understand what you mean, said Punchinello. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take some time. You've got a lot of marks right now. For now, just come and see me every day. And let me remind you of how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and he set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said to the Wemmick as he walked out the door, you're special because I made you. And I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop. But in his heart, he thought, I think he really means that. And when he thought that, one dot fell off. But he had lots of dots. Sometimes if you get lots of dots, you just got to go talk to God a whole lot more. Because when you go talk to God a whole lot more about all those things, he shows you how he made you in Jesus Christ and how all those things don't stick to Jesus. They might stick to how you were when you weren't with Jesus. They might stick to how you used to be. But they don't stick to your new life in Jesus, not one bit. And the more you understand about that, the more they fall off. Okay, you can go back to your mom and dad.
John chapter 5, Jesus said, I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you don't have the love of God in your hearts. He's talking to the Pharisees. I have come in my Father's name and you don't accept me. But if someone comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from others and yet make no effort to obtain praise that comes from the only God? Jesus asked, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And then he answered his own question by saying the kind of faith he's talking about is a childlike faith. A childlike faith that a sinner tax collector had who stood beside a self-righteous Pharisee and said, no, I'm not like him. I've got a lot of dots. I fall all the time. God, would you please forgive me? That one was accepted. A childlike faith that trusts in their parents to just provide for them. A childlike faith that is the opposite of the rich young ruler who had done all the righteous things. He had studied the law, and he said from the time he was a child, he kept every commandment of God. He made sure that he did really good. He got a lot of stars for it. Until Jesus said, okay, take all your money and go give it away. Sell all your stuff and go give it away. And suddenly what was revealed was that his security was in his finances instead of a simple faith in God. Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom with the kind of faith that children have, you won't see the kingdom. He's not asking us to not be courageous. He's not asking us to be wimps. He's not asking us to not be a warrior. But he is asking us to come humbly as one who is dependent on their Heavenly Father. To come without guile, without pretense, in humility, to step under God and receive from him all that he has for us. It's good news for each of us. It's bad news for the proud. But unless you're full of pride, this is wonderful news. This is freedom. This is freedom that says, I don't have to make my own way. Jesus has made a way for me. God bless you.